Alrighty. Haksameach, Shabbat Shalom, Haksameach. And we are here, Shavuot weekend 2026. And what a wonderful time we are living in. So I have a message today to give meat in due season called Shavuot in the New Birth. We are living in one of the most amazing times in the history of humanity. For two reasons. Number one, we are seeing the things that the Bible talked about, the end time things, that the chaos in the world, things that we've never seen like this before. But on the other side, we are also seeing the Spirit of Yahweh moving out in ways that we've never seen before. So I want to start in John 3, and I want to discuss this and how it works. And that's why this is called Shavuot and the New Birth. John 3. In the verse 3 verses, it says, "But there was a man from the Pharisees, Nicodemus his name, a ruler of the Jews. And this one came to Yeshua by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come as a teacher from Elohim. For no one is able to do these miraculous signs which you do, except Elohim be with him.' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, that if a man is not born again, he is not able to see the kingdom of Yahweh.'" So we know today there's whole churches called born-again churches, and they think this is some kind of just emotional experience. And, you know, if you say this little prayer at the end of a bar stool, and then you're born again. But it's probably one of the most misunderstood things in the New Testament of what it really means. And actually, if you look at Yeshua's own words, as we're going to go into it in this sermon, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of Yahweh. So this is probably among the top of the list of understanding and doctrines. You know, every doctrine is important to understand. But while if you don't understand what it means to be born again, and you haven't been begetted by the Spirit of Yahweh, then you have no future. There's nowhere to go. So listen carefully. And this is an extremely important thing. So like I said, the Christian world is deceived about what they mean. They think it's just an emotional experience. But this is talking about a real birth, as we're going to see. Yeshua is very, very clear. There's a physical birth and there's a spiritual birth. And the physical birth, as we know, every single person from Adam till today has lived and died. And the spiritual birth is what leads to eternal life. So let's continue here. Verse 4 through 7. Nicodemus said to him, "How is it possible to enter the womb of his mother the second time in being born?" So was Nicodemus misinterpreting Yeshua, that he was talking about having an emotional experience, maybe falling on the floor and barking like a dog? Of course not. No. Nicodemus, and this is the way it was in Israel, you know, in Bible times, things were taken very literal. So when Yeshua is saying you need to be born again, what is he saying? How is it possible to enter the mother's womb the second time and be born? But he was talking about a physical birth, and Nicodemus understood that. And now let's listen to Yeshua's answer. Yeshua answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that if a man is not born from water and spirit," what does that mean? Baptism, right? "If a man is not born from water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. The thing which is born from the flesh is flesh," right? A natural birth. "And the thing which is born from the spirit is spirit." Two totally different things. You have a physical birth, as we're going to see, when the baby comes out of the mother's womb, and you have a spiritual birth at baptism. "Do not wonder, because I said to you, you must be born from above." So Yeshua is going to tell us exactly how that is. And it's the only way to the kingdom of Yahweh. There's no other way. There's no back doors. There's no other way to do it. You have to have a second birth, a spiritual birth for eternal life. So Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to atone for your souls, for it is the blood which makes atonement for the souls." The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's the physical birth, right? So that's the way we know somebody's alive, because the heart is pumping, the blood is circulating throughout the body, and as long as that's happening, you're physically alive, the physical birth. As soon as that stops, right, you can't survive without having blood, and you can't survive without that blood being pumped. So that's the fleshly birth. The life is in the blood. When the blood stops pumping, you know, a person dies. And that's animals as well as human beings. It's just life. Life, physical life on this planet, that's the way it works. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Let's look what it says. It says, Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I think for most people, even a lot of believers, don't understand the difference of Yahweh's breath of life that simply makes somebody a living soul, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that makes somebody, gives them eternal life. It's two different things. Because the vast majority of human beings, 99% of them, they don't understand the word of Yahweh. They don't know Yahweh, but they're alive. Every single physical person that's born, male or female, and animal, has the breath of life until the blood stops pumping, until they're dead. So here it is, when Yahweh formed the man from the dust of the ground, he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, the man became a living soul. Again, the man doesn't have a soul. The man became a living soul. Just meaning the breath of life from Yahweh makes someone alive. And again, once the heart stops pumping and the blood stops circulating, the person dies. It's not a spiritual situation. It's just a physical thing that makes someone alive. And that's why Yeshua is saying, you're not going to get eternal life just by living. You know, just by being born and dying doesn't give you eternal life. You have to be born again. You have to have a second birth. That's what's going to give you eternal life. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 18. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 18. It says, I said in my heart concerning the issue of the sons of men, that the Elohim may test them and see they by themselves are beasts. Right? Because the same thing happens. Verse 19. For that which happens to the sons of men and that happens to the beasts, even one thing, one event is to all of them. As this one dies, so that one dies. Yea, one breath is to all, so that there is to the man no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of dust, and all return to dust. So what is Solomon saying? Basically, you know, if a man is going to live whatever, 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe even up to 100 years and die, what advantage does he have over an animal? Because the same thing happens to the animal. He doesn't live as long, but he breathes. As long as he's breathing, he's alive, and then he dies. So Solomon is showing the vanity of life, that if you're only living for this world and for those 70 or 80 years now, what good is it? Because they're going to end, right? And that's why Yeshua said, you have to be born again. Not just have breath in you, not just have a heart that's pumping blood, but a spiritual birth, as we're going to see here shortly. John 20 in verse 20 and 21. John 20 in verse 20 and 21. And this is now where we're going to start getting into being born again, the spiritual birth, and what it means and how to get it. Then Yeshua said to them again, peace be to you, shalom aleichem. And as the Father has sent me, now this is after he's resurrected, right? He's coming to his disciples, you know, after the resurrection, he's showing up to them, and he's saying, shalom aleichem, peace to you, as the Father sent me, I send you. And saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So again, now we're going to see how the Holy Spirit is given today, because Yeshua isn't here to breathe on people. But the Father gave the breath of life in the beginning, which was actually Yeshua that was there in Genesis 2. It wasn't Yahweh the Father. But now it's the spiritual life. And since Yeshua is not on the earth anymore, we know that we're going to see in Acts 8, it's the elders baptizing and laying hands on somebody, and that gives it. But this is, it had a start somewhere. So this is the first time the his apostles and his disciples that already were baptized, we know that, you know, they were baptized when Yeshua was alive and they were baptizing other people, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit yet. So they're receiving the Holy Spirit, and that's what he says. He breathed on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, not just the breath of life, but the Holy Spirit. It's a begettal at that point. So just like when, how is a baby born? The man and the woman come together, the sperm and the egg, it's fertilized, and then it's in the womb for 9 months, and then after 9 months, the baby is born, right? He's born, and it's interesting, you know, when he's born, there's the water in the blood that comes out when the baby is born, and then he has the breath of life. He's breathing. If the baby's not breathing, he's going to be stillborn. He's going to be dead. So here's the same thing. When somebody is baptized and they receive the Holy Spirit, they're begettal. They're not born yet. They're just begettal. And our life as a believer now is like the baby in the womb. It's the begettal time, and then when Yeshua comes back to this earth, we'll shed these earthly bodies, as we're going to see later, and we will literally be born at that time, born again. It's not an emotional experience. It's a physical thing. We'll be born of spirit. We'll be spirit beings at that time. We won't be flesh and blood anymore. We'll see that toward the end of the sermon in Corinthians. Very, very clear on this. So the Ruach is received here as they already had the breath of life. So he's not breathing on them to make them alive. He's breathing on them for the begettal into that. So Revelation 20, let's look at the second resurrection of all the people that ever lived in the world, right? Every single person will be resurrected again, and they're going to be judged. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. And this is after the 1,000 years, after the millennium, right, is over. The 1,000 years are over, and let's look, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled, and a place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before Yahweh, and books were opened, right? What are these books? We're going to see here. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, the Bible. And the dead were judged out of what? The dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. So right now, you know, there's doctrines that are out there. And like I said, one out of every three people in the world is a Christian to one form or another. So you have 8.5 billion people in the world. One out of every three is a Christian. 99% of those Christians think when they die, they're going to heaven or hell. You don't find one word in the Bible about that. The Bible clearly over and over and over says the dead are asleep. They're laying in the grave, right? So whether it's Adam and Eve that died 5,000 years ago, or it's somebody you know that died yesterday, they're all laying in the grave. And we know at this time, after the 1,000 years, everyone will be resurrected physically. And then they're going to be judged by the things they did. So it's what you do now that will depend on your judgment later. They're judged according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead. It doesn't matter whether you died in the sea, whether you died, you know, in a car crash, however you died. Everyone is resurrected. And the sea gave up the dead, and death and the grave were gave up the dead in them, and they were each judged according to their works. And I say this, we have an anomaly in the time we're living in, where we have more people now, particularly in Western society, that are being cremated than ever before. And if you look in the Bible, the worst thing in the world that could happen to you in the Bible when you died was for your enemy to burn you. That's why Hitler burned 6 million Jews. Because it was like they're not only taking your life now, they're taking your eternal life. Because if you believe in a resurrection, why would you burn your body? You know, if you believe your body is going to be resurrected and raised up, why on earth would you burn it where there's nothing left to it? Right? And that's the world we live in today. Because people are not only, they don't only sanctify physical life, and that's why just in America alone, 2 million babies are killed every year before they're even born. So it's not even physical life. It's not only the breath of life they don't care about. It's eternal life. That when they die, they don't care. Burn me up, you know, put me in the fireplace, you know, have a barbecue on me, you know, burn me up and barbecue my bones, whatever it is. But this is the way it is. And yet we see here right in the Bible, it's very clear that nobody's in heaven. You know, John 3:13, no man has went up to heaven. Everybody that died now is laying in the grave, and they'll be resurrected here after the 1,000 years, and they're going to be judged according to their deeds. And death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found having written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. So if you're not in the book of life, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because a lot of people that in this world could care less and didn't care, they're going to see at that time. You know, because there's no more time at that point, and people will be judged. So the great white throne resurrection is judging everyone that ever lived. But this is people that without the Ruach. This is people with that weren't born again. This is people that did not have the Holy Spirit. And again, the judgment is not the same. You know, it's a lower judgment. But there'll be some that make it, and there'll be a lot that don't make it. Matthew 1. So let's see, because Yeshua was the only one that actually had the spiritual birth from born. Like I said, when you're born, you're physically, you have physical birth, and then you have to be born again. You have to get the spiritual birth. But Yeshua was the only human being that actually had the Holy Spirit from his birth. Matthew 1 and verse 18. The birth of Yeshua Messiah was this way. So this is exactly how he was born. For his mother Miriam had been betrothed to Yosef, his stepfather. Before the coming of them together, she was found having baby in the womb by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, they were engaged. They weren't married yet, although in biblical times, engagement was like being married. But there was no consummation of the marriage. They did not physically come together at all. But the Holy Spirit produced this baby there. And it says, but her husband, Joseph, didn't understand this at the time. being just and not willing to make her a public example, right? He purposed to divorce her secretly. Interesting to show you, even before they were technically married, just being engaged was part of the marriage covenant. And he was thinking about these things. Behold, a cherub of Yahweh was seen by him in a dream, saying, Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam as your wife, for that in her is generated by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So Yeshua is the only person that has the Holy Spirit from birth. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins, right? Jesus has no etymology. Jesus doesn't mean anything. Jesus is a hybrid name. There is no letter J in Hebrew. Yeshua was a Hebrew savior, a Hebrew person born. So his name definitely wasn't Jesus. His whole life, never once in his whole life did he ever hear that name Jesus. His mother never called it. His father, his brothers and sisters, disciples, nobody ever called him that. Because there's no name in Hebrew called that, because there's no letter J. So what does Yeshua mean? It means he will save his people from their sins. So we know that Matthew was written in Hebrew because that's the way it is. It's written in syntax like that. And this all happened so it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Yahweh through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin, this has come from Isaiah 7, will conceive in her womb and will bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, or Elohim is with us. Sometimes people ask me, but why? I thought his name is Emmanuel. Why'd they call him Yeshua? Emmanuel is a title meaning Elohim is with us, because Yeshua was Elohim. So it's not that his name is Emmanuel, his title is Emmanuel, because Elohim was with them for those 33 years Yeshua lived on this earth. And being aroused from sleep, Joseph did as the cherub of Yahweh commanded him, and he took his wife, Miriam, and did not know her until she bore her son, the firstborn, and called his name Yeshua, according to what it said. Because the cherub, it wasn't just that she said, like today, you know, people, the woman gets pregnant, and the husband, well, what should we call him? Should we call him Chad? Should we call him Joe? Should we call him Philip? You know, and any name is fine. You know, it's you have that right. But here, a cherub came to her and said, no, you're going to call him this. You're going to call him Yeshua, because what does Yeshua mean? He will save his people from their sins. So it was the prophecy was that. So it wasn't just that that's his name that he happened to have. That's his name that he was prophesied, because in Hebrew, every name has a meaning. There is not one Hebrew name that doesn't mean something. And the name comes from your personality and what you do. And that's why, you know, like the name David, my beloved. Every name means something, and the name Yeshua means he will save his people from their sins. Jesus has, even in Greek, Jesus has no meaning. It's not a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. It's no name. It's a hybrid corruption that doesn't have any meaning that came later. So this is the spiritual birth. And like I said, Yeshua is the only human being ever that had the Holy Spirit from birth. And now Yeshua is going to show us, he came as an example, how we can do that. How can we be born in? How can we have the Holy Spirit in us? How can we live forever? Because isn't that what everybody wants, right? Everybody doesn't want a nice home or money. Not that they don't want that, but that's not what they're looking for eternity. What people want is they want to live forever. Nobody wants to die. So here Yeshua is going to show us in John 14, how can we be born again? How can we live forever? How can we get the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh? John 14, verse 15. John 14. And verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we supposed to keep them? Of course. Everywhere throughout the New Testament, it's over and over and over. We're not, you know, to sin, we're to keep the commandments. And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one, which will end the curse. What curse? The curse of Adam, right? The curse that Adam did for disobeying Yahweh, this curse is going to be end because Adam didn't have the Holy Spirit. Adam didn't have the Spirit of Yahweh living in him to be able to overcome sin. But he's saying, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you the comfort. You can't do it on your own. You know, you can't. It's like the alcoholic. He knows it's wrong. He feels horrible. But he can't stop drinking because it's human nature. Human nature is corrupted. And, you know, and it's the addiction that comes. But I've seen it over and over and over again. I mean, I've been blessed to baptize thousands of people in my life. And I've seen people that were smokers for 30 years and said, I tried everything to quit and I couldn't. And they're baptized and never smoked a cigarette again. So you need the Holy Spirit to help you overcoming your life where you need to. And he says that, I will petition the Father and he'll give you another one, meaning the Holy Spirit, which will end the curse of Adam, that he may remain with you forever, eternal life. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see it nor know it, right? And boy, is that true today. Does the world know the Spirit of Yahweh? Absolutely not. But you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be in you. And we're going to see how do you get it through baptism. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you see me because I live, you also shall live. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you, right? So when you get the Spirit, it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Spirit that's in you that's going to change you. It's not just the Spirit that's going to help you to overcome. It's literally Yahweh. That's what he is. Your Father and the Son are the Spirit. That's what they're made of. And that same Spirit that is made up of Yahweh and the same Spirit that's made up of Yeshua is the Spirit that's going to live in you and be part of you, right? And that's what he says here. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is the one who loves me. And the one that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas said to him, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, Master, what has happened that you're about to reveal yourself to us and not at all to the world? Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make a dwelling place with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Does Yeshua and the Father have different commandments? Of course not. They're one. One in mind, one in spirit, one in purpose. I have spoken these things to you, abiding with you. But the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I said to you. So it's like, wow. You know, there's been times in my life, and I've said this before, where I read the Bible and I'm like, I have a question in my mind. I wonder what this means. And then there's a time where I'll be up in front of a group and somebody will ask that question that I never knew the answer, and the Holy Spirit will give me the answer right at that time. So it's not just the person that's getting the answer. I'm getting the answer myself. So if we allow the Holy Spirit, it changes us, it transforms us, and it will help us when we read the Bible. It will interpret the Bible for us. So that's one way you know if someone has the Holy Spirit. Because if somebody's telling you the law is nailed to the cross and the commandments are done away with and I don't have to do this, they certainly ain't being led by the Holy Spirit, because you never see that in Scripture. The Spirit is teaching you how to do it, not how to do away with it. So it's important for this. So Yeshua is showing us how to be born again. You must have the begettal of the Ruach of Yahweh at your baptism. So your baptism isn't when you're born. Your baptism is when you're begetted, right? And then the life we go through now is like the gestation time in the womb of the mother. And then when Yeshua comes back and we're resurrected, we will be born again. We're going to see it. We're going to shed these bodies and we'll be spirit bodies forever. Acts 2. This is the whole point of Shavuot, the day today. So Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, right, Pentecost of Shavuot, they were all with one mind at the same place, right? United, because Yahweh and the Father and Yeshua the Son, there's one Spirit, and it unites them in mind, in spirit, in purpose. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as a groaning spirit along a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire appeared to them, being distributed as it sat on each one of them. Wow, what a time this must have been. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave ability for them to speak. Wow, amazing. Drop down to verse 12. And all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what can this be? But ridiculing others said, they're full of sweet wine. So here it is. Isn't this kind of interesting? That as Yahweh is doing this most amazing miracle, that literally for the first time, the Holy Spirit is coming down to everyone, all New Testament believers, and they're being filled with that Spirit. They're doing these miracles. They're speaking other languages, and people are just in awe. And I've seen this. I've seen this when Yahweh's miracles are happening, or people being healed, the same thing when the Spirit is being poured out like that. And then others that were just blinded and worldly, what are they saying? Oh, they're drunk. They must be drunk. And like they in the same room. In the same room, you have people that are being led by the Spirit of Yahweh that are being powered and empowered, and then you have other people that are just nothing. There's nothing there. But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted his voice and spoke out to them, saying, "Men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these are not drunk, as you can imagine, for it's the third hour of day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which has been spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And also I will pour out my spirit on my servants and handmaids in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heavens above and the miraculous signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke." Wow. So this is what's the signs that Yahweh has given. Drop down to verse 32. And what does Peter say to the people after this? What is the answer from all this on that first Shavuot? He said, this Yeshua Elohim raised up, of which we are all witnesses, right? No more death when you become a believer and you get the Holy Spirit. Then being exalted to the right hand of Yahweh and receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heaven, right? David wasn't the Messiah. David's in his grave. But he says, Yahweh said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand, Psalm 110, until I place those who are your enemies as a footstool to your feet. So that Psalm 110 was written by David, but not to David. It was written for his son, the Messiah, Yeshua. Then assuredly let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known this same Yeshua whom you crucified. He is both Yahweh and Messiah. And hearing, they were touched in the heart. And they said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, men or brothers, what shall we do? So now they're believing. They're believing the message. They're believing they're sinners. They're believing they need a Savior. They're believing Yeshua is that Savior. And they're saying, what do we do? How do we get in on this? How can we be part of this? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness. Repent and be baptized. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and all those afar off, as many as the Master Elohim shall call. So it's not limited. Anybody can do this. Anybody can change. Anybody can repent. Anybody can come to Yahweh and ask the elders if they repent and they believe Yeshua for the forgiveness of sins, for baptism, and to become a child of Yahweh and a first fruit. For the promise is to you and your children and all those afar off, as many as our Master our Elohim shall call. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And while if this was meaningful 2,000 years ago, boy, is it meaningful today. And I say this on Shabbat 2026, be saved from this perverse generation. And some of them readily received his words and believed and were baptized. And there were added in that day about 3,000 souls in one day. When I was in Liberia a few years back, I was blessed to baptize 1,000 people at one time. Not 3,000, but at least 1,000. So that's what happened. But there were a lot of people here that weren't baptized, right? So your free will is not taken away when you come to Yahweh, but you have to make that choice. So we see the Holy Spirit is given here at Shavuot. And like I said, it wasn't being born again. It's the begettal. It's the beginning of it. Because you're still flesh. You're still flesh and blood. After your baptism, you know, until Yeshua returns and we're going to shed these bodies as we see, we're still flesh and blood. So you're not born again at your baptism. You're begetted at your baptism. Acts 19. And now we'll see the Apostle Paul. Same thing here. And there's a lot of people that think they have the Holy Spirit and they've never been baptized. But that's what the Bible says. That's the way you receive it is baptism. Acts 19. Starting in verse 1. And it happened in the time Apollos was in Corinth. Paul was passing through the higher parts to come to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, these are people that were disciples, right? They were believers in Yeshua. He said to them, believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said to him, we did not even hear whether there is a Holy Spirit. Did they have it? No, they did not have it. They believed in Yeshua, but they didn't have it. Why? They weren't baptized. And he said to them, then to what were you baptized? And they said, the baptism of John. They were only baptized to repentance, but they never received the Holy Spirit. They never had the laying on of hands. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe into the one coming after him, that is, into the Messiah Yeshua. And hearing, they were baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. And Paul laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in different languages and prophesied. So again, that's the way you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. I've had people tell me when I was 7 years old, they know they received the Holy Spirit in the, you know, in the Pentecostal church. And it's like, you know what? They're probably not a first fruit. It's not the way you receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, you're not going to receive it at 7 years old. And you're certainly not going to receive it in a Pentecostal church, falling on the ground and barking like a dog. That's not the way, that's not the Bible mandate for it. In the Bible, it says Yahweh made humans above the animals. So his spirit isn't going to make you act like an animal. That's Satan, and that's demonic. And Satan tricks people by that because they don't want to make those hard changes in their life. You know, the changes of repenting and getting rid of sin in their life. Let's go to Acts 8. We'll see the same thing. This is the protocol. This is the Bible mandate, how you receive the Holy Spirit. So you can believe it or you can make your own mandate. But you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit by doing it your own way. Acts 8 and verse 12. It says, and this is when Philip went, right? He goes out there and he's teaching them. And he's going to this area, and they're non-believers, to Samaria. And they're believing. And they're going to believe it. And then they're going to wonder, well, what do we do now? The same as we saw in Acts 2. But when they believed Philip preaching, verse 12 of Acts 8. Preaching the good news, the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh, and in the name of Yeshua Messiah, they're baptized, both men and women, right? So it's not only men. And in those days, it was the men mostly, right, that did things. But here, it's the men and the women. Everybody's got to do it for themselves. And Simon Magus, this is, not Simon Peter, Simon Magus, the sorcerer, himself also believed, and being baptized, was continuing steadfastly with Philip. And seeing miracles and mighty works happening, he was amazed because he's seeing miracles and power that's happening, not the sorcery that he did. And the apostles in Jerusalem, hearing that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent Simon, Peter, and John to them, who going down prayed concerning them so that they may receive the Holy Spirit through Ruach HaKodesh. For it was not upon any one of them yet, but they were only being baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. So again, they were put in the water, but nobody had the laying on of hands yet. And when you're baptized, you go in the water as like a symbol of you dying to the old self. But it's laying on of hands by the elder that actually gives you the Holy Spirit. For it was not yet upon any of them yet, the Holy Spirit, but they were only being baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Laying on of hands. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But when Simon Magus saw that the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the elders, he offered them money, saying, give to me this authority, that to whomever I may lay on the hands, they may receive the Holy Spirit. And look what Peter says to him. May your silver be to you with destruction, because you thought to obtain the gift of Elohim through money. So you know what's interesting? You wonder, like today, people would just go out and do it. Why didn't Simon Magus, he was already a sorcerer, he's already a false teacher, why did he need the apostles to give him the authority to do it? Why didn't he just go and do it? Why didn't he just walk away and do it? Because he knew what the apostles was doing was true. He knew they were really receiving the Holy Spirit. They saw the miracles happening. And he tried to buy it. He thought money would do it. Today we see the same thing. Look in all these churches out there in the world. Everything is about money. Everything is about paying for prayers, paying for healing, paying for this. And there's a lot of Simon Maguses out there today. But what did the Apostle Paul say? May your silver be to you into destruction, into the hellfire, because you thought to obtain the gift of Elohim through money. Freely you receive and freely you give. It's not about paying for it. It's not about money. So we see that the laying on of hands comes through, the receiving of the Holy Spirit comes through the laying on of hands of the elders. So not anybody could do it, and there's people out there that were never given that authority, right? What did Simon Magus say? Give me this authority that who I lay hands on. We're in the Laodicean era, right? Ruled by the people. So there's people out there that are, you know, doing it on their own. They've never been ordained. They've never been given authority by Yahweh, but they're out there baptizing people on their own, and it means nothing. It's just people getting wet. But for 2,000 years, my book, The Gates of Hell, proves this. For 2,000 years, from Yeshua Yeshua laid hands on the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles laid hands on others, who laid hands on others, who laid hands on others. And here we are 2,000 years later. One of those people in that chain laid hands on me, and I've laid hands on others. And that's it. You know, there's an unbroken chain of succession that's been there for 2,000 years. Read the book. I prove it. I have amazing history that's in that book that you won't get anywhere. Romans 2, Romans 8 in verse 2. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 in verse 2. Because it's not only receiving the Holy Spirit. What happens here is absolutely amazing. It's making you a child of Yahweh. A literal child of His. So Romans 8, I'm going to start in verse 2 to verse 17. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, set me free from the law of sin and death. Right? This is from Romans 6. So there's two laws out there. There's the law of sin and death, right? Which means the soul that sins, it will die. Romans 6, 23. And there's the law of the Spirit of life. That's the rock. That's the Spirit of Yahweh. For the Torah being powerless, right? In that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the Torah is holy, just, and good, right? What's the problem with the Torah? It can't change the heart. It can tell you right from wrong, but it can't make you do right. The Ruach, the Holy Spirit, now changes your heart and makes you do right, if you allow it to work in your life. So that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to flesh, but according to spirit. For the ones that are according to flesh, mind the things of the flesh, right? Be saved from this perverse generation. Where are you? The ones according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And the ones according to the spirit, mind the things of the spirit. To be carnally, worldly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you can't kid Yahweh. What is your life? Is your life filled around Yahweh's word and His kingdom? Or is it filled about all the pleasures of Babylon? Because the mind of the flesh is hatred, enmity toward Elohim. It is not subject to the Torah of Elohim. It is not possible to be so. So the people in this world, that's why it gets worse and worse, because they don't have Yahweh's spirit. And that's the way the mind of the world is hatred toward His spirit and truth. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. And how do you get that spirit? Baptism, laying on of hands. But if anyone is not the spirit of the Messiah, this one does not belong to Him. So that's the way you become part of His family. The same way, you know, when you have children and they become part of your family by being your children. But if the Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of His spirit in you, right? That's how you're going to be resurrected in that first resurrection very, very soon. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live by the Spirit and you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons or the children of Elohim. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. So wow, not only does that Holy Spirit make you a first fruit for the resurrection, not only does it give you eternal life, but it makes you a child of Yahweh forever. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs of Messiah, if indeed we suffer together, that we may also be glorified together. Wow, how great. How great that is, you know, that we see here. So, the begettal of the Ruach, just like a baby in a womb, it makes us a child of Yahweh, and then we grow in this time period that we have, and then when Yeshua comes, as we're going to see here in a little bit, we shed these mortal bodies, and we become eternal spirit beings with Him. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, see what manner of love the Father has given us, that we may be called the sons or children of Yahweh, just like I was reading in Romans 8, who made us. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are the sons or children of Yahweh, And it is not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that if he is revealed, we shall be like him because we will see him as he is. So we don't know exactly. There's nobody in the world that can say exactly what it is to be a spirit being because no one's ever been a spirit being. But we know the way Yeshua was the way we'll be. And what happened? He was able to manifest as a physical body, right? He said, look at the holes in my hands and the holes in my side. But he was also able to manifest as a spirit and disappear. He wasn't limited by the human body anymore. He could manifest in a body, but he wasn't limited by the body. And everyone having this hope on him purifies himself even as that one is pure. Everyone practicing sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is the breaking of the Torah, right? And you know that he was revealed that he might take away our sins and sin not be in him. Everyone remaining in him, in Yeshua, does not practice sin. Everyone practicing sin has not seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one lead you astray. The one practicing righteousness is righteous, even as that one is righteous. The one practicing sin is of the devil, because the devil sins from the beginning. For this the Son of Yahweh was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we see it. You're not going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you'll never sin, but it means you're not going to practice sin. You're not going to have sin as a way of life once the Holy Spirit is living in you, because the Holy Spirit helps you to overcome that. Everyone who has been begotten of Elohim does not practice sin, because his seed abides in him, and he is not able to sin because he has been begotten of Elohim. By this, the children of Yahweh are distinguished with the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother does not belong to Elohim. So, wow, it's really simple. In the world we live in today, it's real clear. Go out there in that world and look at the people out there. Look how evil it is, because they're the children of the devil. But you look at the first fruits of Yahweh, who are keeping the commandments and practicing righteousness, and they are his children waiting for the kingdom. True believers through the power of the rock will overcome sin in their lives, and that's what the begettal of the rock is all about. And like I said, it doesn't mean you're never going to sin again, you know, and you should feel bad and remorse and repent, but you got to move on from it, you know, because we're humans. We will make mistakes still. Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 16 through 25. He says, but I say, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you, right? So your environment is 90% of your battle, and you have to make sure you're putting fences around your life. You can't be in all worldly places doing all worldly things with all worldly people and think, oh, why am I sinning again? Right? So you have to make sure. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are opposed to one another, so you're not able to do as you desire. It's a spiritual battle that's out there. Right? You know, just like you see in those cartoons, the little devil on one side, the little angel on the other side. And it really is true. That's the way it's working. Your human nature is fighting the Spirit of Yahweh, and you have to make sure you're not allowing the human nature to win. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. Now, the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, right? So it's manifest in the deeds. That's why the people judge by the deeds. So by your deeds, you're going to know whether you're being led by the Spirit of Yahweh, or are you being led by the spirit of Satan? So here's the works of the flesh. This is what the spirit of Satan leads to: adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalry, stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and things like this, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also said before, the ones practicing these things will not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. But the fruit of Yahweh, right? Now when you have his spirit, this is what you should be manifesting. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, right? It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. Meekness, not pride, but meekness. Self-control. Wow. One of the most important things in your life is having discipline and self-control. Because without that, you could be doing all the other things and you're going to always go back to the sin. Self-control, against such things, there is no instruction. So there's nothing in the Bible that limits those fruits of the Spirit working in your life. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So how do you do this? By surrendering to the Spirit. By not allowing your human nature to push the path of your life where you're going. You have to fight your human nature, and you have to allow the Spirit of Yahweh to lead that path in these 9 fruits of the Spirit. So that is the key to life. We have to choose which spirit we will live to, the human one with the pulls of the flesh, or the spiritual one with the strength to overcome. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is where it's very clear what it means to be born again. I mean, there's no way you could misinterpret it. It's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible because it's all about the resurrection and our eternal life. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to start in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. And this very, very, very clearly tells us what happens when you're born again. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies, right? And what you sow, you do not sow the body that is going to be, but a bare grain, that it may be of wheat or barley or some other seed. And Elohim gives it a body according as he willed, and to each of the seeds its own natural body. So it's the same way, like he's comparing it now to like when you put seeds in the ground. A lot of times those seeds look the same. A barley seed, a wheat seed, a rye seed. But when you put it in the ground, it comes up, they're different. You know, Yahweh gives it a body, how it looks, and it's different. He says, not every flesh is the same flesh, right? We know that. There's animal flesh, and there's different things. Not every flesh is the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds, all different. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is truly different than that of the earthly different. One glory to the sun, another glory to the moon, another glory to the stars. For stars differs from star in glory, right? Even the stars. Some are brighter, some aren't. Regulus, you know, between the feet of the Lion of Judah is the brightest star that's there. So they differ. So is the resurrection of the dead. So he's saying the same with the resurrection. It's sown in corruption, our earthly body. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, right? Human nature. It is raised in glory, a spiritual body. It is sown in weakness, right? Physical bodies that die. It's raised in power, eternal spiritual body. It is sown a natural body, right? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, right? There's a natural body, and you have to be born again to receive the Spirit of Yahweh. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. John 3, that's what Yeshua was going over. So it has been written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, right? Just a breathing soul. The last Adam, Yeshua, a life-giving spirit. And that's what each of us have the choice. Do you just want to be a living soul? Do you just want to be breathing life every day and looking out for yourself? Or do you want to be a life-giving spirit? Do you want to affect every single person you meet in a positive way? That they're like, wow, who is he? Wow, man, I'm glad I met him. That's the choice we have. But not the spiritual first, but the natural, right? Afterwards, the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was out of the earth, earthly. The second man, Yeshua, was the Master Yahweh out of heaven. As is the earthly man, such are the earthly ones. And such as the heavenly man, such are the heavenly ones. And as we born the image of the earthly man, right? We were all born. We shall bear the image, the likeness of the heavenly one. So like we said, Yahweh said in Genesis 1, he made us in his image, right? Yahweh has eyes, Yahweh has a nose, Yahweh has a mouth, Yahweh has ears. We're made in his image. But we're to grow in his likeness, his character, love, joy, peace, patience, faith. So as we bore the image of the earthly man, we shall bear the likeness of the heavenly one, his character. And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. There's not going to be any flesh and blood humans. They're only spiritual beings. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all sleep. Are the dead in heaven? No, they're sleeping in the grave. We shall not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet, right? Revelation, the last trumpet is when Yeshua returns. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality, then will take place the word that has been written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Hades, where's your victory? No more death. Now the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Torah, because the Torah tells right from wrong, right? sin is the breaking of the Torah. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our Master Yeshua Messiah, so that my beloved brothers, you be firm, immovable, abounding in the work of Yahweh always, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Master Yahweh. Wow. So we have to allow the Ruach to kill fleshly desires so we can be born again at the resurrection in a new spiritual body. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Nobody is born again. And I say this, if somebody tells you they're born again, I have a really, really simple way to check it out. You know, we're going to read it here in John. Give them the pin test. Because it says if you're born again, you're like the spirit. You know, you're like the wind. So if somebody says they're born again, stick them with a pin. And if they scream, they're not born again. Give them the pin test. John 3, let's go back to John 3 now. Going to be ending up here in a few minutes. John 3. And let's finish now what Yeshua is telling Nicodemus. John 3 and verse 7. So he told them before, right, that a man has to be born again. Truly, if a man is not born from water and spirit, we went over what that means, baptism, he's not able to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of flesh, verse 6, is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, let's continue here in verse 7. Do not wonder because I said you must be born from above. The wind will blow where it desires, and you hear its voice. But you do not know where it comes or where it goes. Likewise is everyone born from the Spirit. So again, what happened on that first Shavuot? Remember, the wind came in, and the Spirit was like that. The Spirit's like wind. It's invisible. So when you're a spirit being, you're going to be able to be invisible. We know from Yeshua, you'll be able to manifest in a body if you want, but you could also be spiritual if you want. And you could be in one place, you could be in, one day you could be in New York, and the next day you could be in China. Not the next day, the next second. You could travel faster than the speed of thought. It's going to be amazing at that time. So that's what he says. And that's the way someone is born again. So if someone says they're born again, just jab, make sure it's a big pin. Don't have a small pin because, it may not... You want emphasis here. Everything you do, do it all your might. So if you're going to check them out, someone, hey, I'm born again, just jab with that pin and see how yell, and then read them the description. So you're not born again yet. You're not born again yet. So let's continue here. So Nicodemus answered and said to him, how are these things able to occur, right? How can you get in your mother's womb the second time? No, that's the physical birth. He's talking the spiritual birth. Yeshua answered and said to him, you are the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, that which we know we speak and that which we have seen we testify, and you do not receive our testimony. If I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things, right? So if you can't even believe the most simplest things in the Bible, right? When someone dies, you're the one digging the hole and putting him in there. If you don't believe he's in the grave, sleeping, then how can I tell you spiritual things, like being born again? And no one has gone up to heaven. Is anyone in heaven? What does the Bible tell you? No one has gone to heaven except he, Yeshua, having come down out of heaven. The Son of Man is he who is in heaven. No one has gone to heaven. Right now, nobody's up in heaven except Yeshua and the Father and everyone from Adam all the way down to, if you know somebody that died yesterday, they're sleeping in the grave waiting for the resurrection when I read you. That's what Scripture says. And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone believing into him should not be destroyed but have everlasting life. For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing into him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Yeshua came, so that we can be born again. For Yahweh did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but the world might have life through him. The one believing into him, into Yeshua, is not condemned, but the one not believing has already been condemned, for he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh, right? Into the name. The name is Yeshua. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than light, for their works were evil. Like I said, what spirit is leading you? What spirit is leading you? You can't fool Yahweh. Do you wake up every day excited, open up his word, reading the Bible? Are you excited to go out there and do the work of Yahweh, or are you just going out there and passing time? And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and the men love darkness more than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light and does not come to the light, that his works may not be exposed. But the one doing truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in Elohim. Right? So, can't fool Yahweh. What is it? when you're born again, and or you're begotten, rather not born again, but when you're begotten of the Ruach, you are going to live by those nine fruits of the Spirit, not by the works of the flesh. We must embrace the new Spirit living in us and the sacrifice Yeshua made so that the Ruach can be living in us. If we don't surrender to that Spirit and deny our human nature and our flesh, there'll be no change of life. It's not something that just Yahweh does. It's not like being possessed. Yahweh doesn't force you to do anything. Your free will never be taken away. It moves you, it encourages you, it inspires you, but you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice if you want a real change of life. And the seed of the Holy Spirit, if not, it will become dormant. Just like a seed in the ground. If you don't water it, if you don't fertilize it, what happens? You could put all the seeds in the world, but you have to nurture them to get that plant. And it's the same way with Yahweh's Ruach, Yahweh's Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:15 through 17, right? Love not the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Yeah, right? Do you love the things of the world or the things of the Spirit? Because all that's in the world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. And there's never been a time like this with internet, with all these gadgets, with all these things out there for Satan to, you know, to be tempting all these people. And the world's passing away into lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So in the kingdom, you know, there's not going to be all these things out there today that Satan is using to deceive people. And we have to decide, what spirit are you listening to? Right? That's what I'm saying. It's Shavuot. The Spirit of Yahweh is being poured out. Are you listening to that spirit or the spirit of Satan? How many hours a day are you on the internet watching worldly material and pleasure seeking? How many hours a day are you seeking Yahweh and serving the poor and the needy, preaching the good news? Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is ready, but the flesh is weak. So we have to watch. There's never been a time where people are being tempted more than now. And that's why you have to put these fences around your life, because the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. You have to allow Yahweh's spirit to work in you and to change you and to transform you. And then, you know what happens? When this happens and you're doing all these great works and people are praising you and saying, you don't take credit for it. Because like the Apostle Paul said, it's not me, it's the spirit that's in me. And in our human spirit, we're evil. We can't do anything, but the spirit of Yahweh can transform us. So any good work that's done, where is the boasting? There is none. It's only the Spirit of Yahweh that's working in us. Mark 9 in verse 43. Mark 9 in verse 43, because I'm sure there's some people that are watching this now that are saying, wow, I believe it, but how do I do it? You know, I keep falling back into sin. I keep having a problem overcoming, and that's why I want to go over this scripture before we end here. Mark 9 in verse 43. It says, for if your hand offend you, cut it off. For it is better if you enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not put out. And if your foot causes you to offend, cut it off. For it is profitable for you to enter into life maimed than having two feet to be thrown into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offends you, cast it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh one-eyed than having two eyes to go into the lake of fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So, again, this is a Jewish idiom. Yeshua is not telling people to, you know, to gouge themselves. You know why? You know that? Because if lust is your problem and you gouge your eye out, you could still lust. Because, as we know, sin starts in the mind, right? It starts in the mind, then it goes into the action. The action becomes sin. Sin becomes death. That's in the book of Jacob. So gouging your eye out might temporarily help from what you're seeing, but it's not going to solve your problem. What it's saying is, what they're saying here is not to gouge your eye or literally cut off. It's saying whatever is causing you to sin, get rid of, right? So if your problem is pornography, get rid of the internet. If your problem is, that you have, whatever your problem is, get rid of it. Put the fences around your life. Get rid of the things that are causing you to sin, right? Get rid of it. So whatever it is, maybe, you know, it's pride, or maybe it's, drinking, maybe it's alcohol, move out of the city, get away from the bars. You know, don't bring it into your house then. You have to, this is what this is saying. This is a Jewish idiom where Yeshua is saying, Whatever is causing sin in your life, get rid of. You know, it's better to go through life not having that thing instead of going to Gehenna having it. So that's the point of it. Not gouging out, not cutting off your leg and walking with one leg, you know, because that's not going to solve your problem. What's going to solve your problem is get rid of the things that are causing you to sin. Whatever is not of Yahweh, get out of your life. And there's sometimes where people came up to me and they would ask me, you know, is it proper, do you think this is a proper song to listen to on Shabbat? You know, my answer always is, if you can't listen to it on Shabbat, you probably shouldn't listen to it any day. You know, like whatever song you can listen to on Shabbat, you should be able to listen to on any day. You know, that's the point of it. Like whatever though is not, it's not like today we're going to praise Yahweh and tomorrow we're going to listen to hard rock. You know, hard rock music, you know, or whatever that other music is, you know, rap music or something like that. Of course not. We have to make sure we're not being hypocrites. So if there's things in your life that you know are not Yahweh, you got to get rid of them. You know, like the whole sermon is going over, there's two spirits. There's the spirit of Yahweh and the spirit of Satan, the spirit of the world. And you can't play on both sides of the fence and think you're going to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, it's one of the scariest scriptures is where Yeshua says, when he returns. When he returns and someone's going to be running up, Yeshua, Yeshua, and going to hug him. He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Get away from me. And that is the scariest thing, that these are so-called believers that this is happening to, not unbelievers. So if we want to make sure, if we want to solidify our eternal life, we have to make sure we're walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So like this is saying, like when people ask me, if you're falling into the same sins, get rid of the things that are causing the sin to you. That's the way to do it. We have to put all stumbling blocks away from us. Sometimes it's people. You know, bad communications ruin good habits. And sometimes you have to put certain people out of your life that just are not conducive to your spiritual life. Galatians 2 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, but if seeking to be justified in Messiah, we ourselves also were found to be sinners in Messiah. Found to be sinners, is Messiah then a minister of sin? Elohim forbid. For what if I build again these things which I destroyed? I prove myself that I have passed by the commandment. For by the Torah I am dead, that I might live to Elohim. I have been crucified with Messiah, and I live, yet no longer I, but Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith toward the Son of Yahweh, the one loving me and giving his life on my behalf. So, eye for eye, life for life. Yeshua died in the flesh so we could live in the spirit. He didn't just die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. He died on the tree of crucifixion. He died on the tree of crucifixion so that we can live for him. So that he could live in us. That's the reason why he did it. Last scripture, Revelation 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead and their hand, talking about the mark of the beast, that's already here. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. So this is the point. I've read in Corinthians, the ones that our first fruits, that are children of Yahweh, will be resurrected at Yeshua's return and reign with him for that 1,000 years. All the rest of the dead don't get resurrected till after the 1,000 years are up. But that's the blessing of being a first fruit, of being in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. That is our hope. That is our destiny. You know, that is our vocation. That is what we should be preparing for, right? I say in royal families, like when you look at the royal family in England, from the day those kids are born, they are preparing for their destiny, you know, as royal life, as a king, you know, in the future. And it should be the same for us. Every day of our life, we should be preparing for rulership in the kingdom of Yahweh. That's our reward if we are faithful. So the first Shavuot was the beginning of that outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit and the beginning of this great plan of him making thousands and thousands and thousands of people to be children of his and rule with him in his kingdom. And now in the end, we're finishing. This is the last part of those first fruits. We have to finish the great work of Yahweh as our new birth to the kingdom is almost here. Every year that Shavuot passes is one more Shavuot that we are closer to that kingdom, and it's getting very, very, very close, and we got to get serious now about that calling. So praise Yahweh, Chag Sameach, and have a great Shavuot.